Fill brightest stars with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies, while their bright tints are glowing. Work for daylight flies. Work till the last bleak fading, faded to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
Hey, Deacon, close this door correctly, please. All right, welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. If you do not have a bulletin, I can have little Kevin pass one out. Service times are 10:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m., Sunday, Wednesday, 5:30 p.m., and then our soul winning time is 2 p.m. I just want to say, we did go soul winning yesterday, and I did get a little behind on my sermon writing, so I'll be sure to let you guys know when I'm going to have go out less time or whatnot, because I think I messed you guys up, and I apologize for that. But other than that, I mean, we still had a really good weekend. 16 souls won. We had a great soul winning marathon. But do pray for the Capriotis. I think they might have gotten a little bit overheated, and it rightfully so. I mean, when you're from up north, you know, we're built differently down here. But they could say the same about themselves, right? If we were up there, we'd probably just never come out in the winter, you know, just get a lamp of light in my house for the days that are like that. And then we are in the last week of Philippians 1:30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. If somebody can quote it to two individuals that are not their family member perfectly, they will get a reward. And so the other thing is, I want to encourage you during the weeks when we're doing it, the ice cream is still available. You know, so, and more importantly than that, just getting the memorization is important. So these are good verses to memorize. It's a good chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Then year-to-date soul winning numbers, we have 700 souls won. And we have one baptism for the year. Right there on the right, you can see all the upcoming July birthdays. If you didn't get a chance to say already, but today is Christian's birthday. So, give her a congrats. Hey, also, is your anniversary of the 24th? Is it July 24th? Oh, because I was going to leave your birthday. Now I know what I did. I have the anniversary, but then I knew you're already at the top. I missed that. My eyes are I just totally missed the Christian Rogers. Because, well, long story short, there's so many birthdays, I had to move the whole formatting around, and I completely missed where I had put, I knew I had put your birthday, like, for the last of June, and then I wanted everybody in July, and somehow I missed the top part, because basically comes together, like, overlaps, it looks like one thing. So I was like, where's Christian's birthday? I knew I had it in here. So, happy birthday, by the way. And then, we had a good soul-winning marathon, 10 soul winners, 16 salvations. Coming up, Pastor Shelley's coming on the 19th. And then I thought I had it here. When did you say it was? The 27th?
For what?
For the baby shower? The 26th. So on the 26th, we have the Rogers, Christian Rogers baby shower. If you have any questions on that, please see my wife or any of the other ladies. Do not ask me about it. I do get asked weird stuff in the church that I don't know. I don't know, okay? I'm telling you right now. I don't know. And we care about Christian because of what I'm about to say, but I don't care about the shower. Like, I personally don't care. The wives and the ladies do, but I just, you know, congratulations, enjoy it. We'll make sure you have a good one, I'm pretty sure, but that's it. And then just a real quick, I did make a note. I guess, you know, and it's fine. It's been a little bit busy the last couple of weeks. But if after the services, I could just get a little help. We've got, like, some old trash from last week. Just kind of just a basic cleanup, vacuuming, not deep, anything. Just, I think, the donuts and everything accumulated from the last 2 weeks. So there's just a little bit of dirt everywhere. If the kids, if you guys can help us with the pews, just picking up a little bit of trash and all that stuff, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm not asking anybody to clean toilets or anything like that. I mean, if you wanted to, that's great, but I'm not telling you to do that. I just need a little cleanup so that it's not overwhelming. And then pray for the expecting mothers. And then the only other thing, I know you guys are more than welcome to hang out between soul winning or if you come back early, but just watch the kids around here because I've already had to replace one of these. That was my fault, but we almost broke one of these earlier today. So just, and I know kids are kids. And if we need to move stuff, then just as the adults, just move it somewhere to safety so that things don't get damaged or messed up. Then on the back, we have the prayer request. And let me know if there's anything else that we need to update. How's your cough, Brother Matt? Is it still persistent?
It's still there.
All right, well, we'll continue to pray for that. Thanks. You know. That's weird. Headaches and coughs are some of those weird things that you can get, and then it could just mean something else. So I do want to just say once again, thank you to everybody who went soul winning. I always want to call her. Megan, I want to call you Wendy. For some reason, I got Wendy in my head. And thank you to Kevin and little Kevin, my two kids, me and the Capriotis, of course. Thank you to everybody that came out. I'm sorry, Megan. I'll try to get it right, but I somewhere in the long line I got Wendy. My wife's saying, "Tell them about Tracy." My wife had a nursing student friend of hers, and her name was Tracy. But I called her what? Crystal. I call her Crystal forever, and I mean it became like an inside joke with all her friends that they would allow me to just call her Crystal. When I get a name in there, it's just like hard to replace it. So I'm sorry, Megan. I don't know how. And the worst part is sometimes I know how it gets in there. Other times I just don't know what happened. So I don't know how we got the wrong name in there, but I apologize. But let's turn our hymnals over to page 356. 356. Oh, okay, good, Kevin. Then it's probably just because we're in our 40s. So 356. I must tell Jesus, and then we will be in Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, 356. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. Ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Let's turn our Bibles over to Psalm 5. Psalm 5.
Psalm chapter number 5, Psalm chapter number 5. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter number 5, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you once again for gathering us here this evening. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your word, Lord. Fill Pastor Reyes with your Holy Spirit and allow him to preach the message with boldness from your pulpit. Lord, let everything that is said and done here glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're there in Psalm 5.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
Give me a second. We're there in Psalm 5. And if you'll turn there to verse 8, the Bible says there, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine eyes. Make thy way straight before my face." And the title of the sermon this evening, or this afternoon, the title of the sermon this afternoon is, "Make America Straight Again." Make America Straight Again. And of course, this is a term we've heard over the last probably maybe almost 8 years. It started out in 2016 when Donald Trump came out with the slogan, "Make America Great Again," and everybody just took that and started, you know, interjecting whatever they thought would be great. And then back in like 2019, there was a group of pastors who some of them don't associate with us anymore. Of course, some of them still preach the same thing that they preached 8 years ago. including myself. Now, I wasn't, a speaker at that, but I was at that conference in Orlando, Florida, and they had a conference called MASA, or Make America Straight Again. And at that conference, there was a bunch of queer sodomites protesting, spewing all kinds of vile rhetoric. It didn't matter if there was women or children or innocent people. You know, they didn't care. And even to this day, they're still doing the same thing, right? And honestly, you know, the slogan works out really well because, first of all, it's just, it would be better. This is what the better slogan for America than Make America Great Again would be, to make it straight again. And it's not just straight talking about our sexuality, but it's also straight talking about our principles and our beliefs and, you know, our morality and what we believe from the Bible. You know, if our country actually would be straight again in all the things that matter to God, you know, Donald Trump would be a much better president than he currently is right now. Let me just tell you that I'm not a MAGA, because what they'll do is they'll try to associate any term like this, like MASA, to MAGA. We are not MAGA. As a matter of fact, if anything, we are the furthest thing from MAGA. Like, we are for the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that he said in the Word of God. But I just like this because in Psalm 5, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." And I like that he says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness." So he separated himself. He's saying, I'm going to pray to you. You're going to know that I'm talking to you, because you know that just like you, you're not a God that takes pleasure in wickedness. So what he's saying here is that he doesn't take pleasure in wickedness either. "Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy side." And what does it say? "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." And I love this. It says, "Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." And then he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." And you notice, he's not just praying to God. He's pointing out that there's wicked people, that God hates them, that God will destroy them. But also he says, hey, make my path straight because of mine enemies. The reason he's saying that is because it's pressure whenever you get the enemies of God to attack you directly, right? They'll come at you and they'll speak falsely of you, or in past times, other churches have been protested, or they'll bring up, you know, they we're just kind of some weirdo. Whatever it is, there's always some kind of agenda. And it's our prayer that the Lord would just keep us on that straight path, right? And so let's just finish that. It says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth." You know, there are people that you can't trust. They don't trust in anything, right? Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know, basically they're leading people to death. They're speaking death. They flatter with their tongue. I mean, they'll pat each other on the back. And I'm going to touch on this here in a second, as far as who is this they? Because, you know, people are like, what they? Well, I'll give you specifics here in a second. It says, "Destroy them, destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee." And I mean, honestly, you know, this agenda that's been going on in the month of June for the last 30 years, I can't believe it's been 30 years since they've been doing this, is all in direct rebellion towards only one individual, God Almighty, towards the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Verse 11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as a shield." And look, you're either going to have joy in the Lord, or you're going to grow some kind of bitterness, wickedness, you know, just contempt, and ultimately rebellion towards God, towards the things of God. So why am I preaching this? Well, number one, you know, it is my commitment that whether the tide is for us or against us, as long as there's a Pride Month, then we'll just preach about God's word against Pride Month, right? I mean, it just any June 2027, June 2028, probably June till the day that I die. And who knows, it might even get worse because it's not going to get better, the Bible tells us, right? But the other reason is when we went to the anti-Israel conference, there was a young man, he's 23 years old currently, and he came to visit from Connecticut to the conference. There was people from all over the country there, by the way. So it wasn't like something shocking to see somebody from another state. But he is a candidate for the 50th district for, I think it's the House of Representatives for the state of Connecticut. And he's running on the Republican ticket. And what's interesting is he was running unopposed in the primaries. Now he's running opposed by the same Republican Party that espouses Christian values. And the reason that they're running someone in opposition to him is because on June 2nd, he made an important announcement, right? So let me see if I got all my... I don't know why this copied here, but this is not what I want in this first part. But anyway, on June 2nd, on Facebook and other social media platforms, Jaden McCormick, and by the way, we met him. Brother Matt met him. Some of you guys met him. He was running around in boots. I thought it was interesting to see a Yankee with boots, but I was like, hey, you know, you're in Texas. Amen. You know, wear some boots. But he posted on Facebook and other channels. He said, a message from your Republican candidate for state representative. Happy Straight Month, which, you know, when I read that, it didn't even bat an eye. Amen. Happy Straight Month. We should be straight in every, essence of that word. And then he said, it's America, it's American to be anti-Pride Month. This is America's 250th anniversary. In an unfortunate recent history, Pride Month recognition began with Bill Clinton back in 1999. Take a stand like George Washington in 1778 during the Revolutionary War while serving as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. Washington approved the court-martial and dismissal of Lieutenant Frederick Gotthold Enslin. Enslin was charged with attempting to commit sodomy. The guy was discharged for trying to be a queer. And then he said later, as your state representative, I, Jordan McCormick, would stand firmly against the transgender and LGBT movement that has for too long corrupted our families, undermined parental authority, and eroded the foundational values of our society. This ideology promotes confusion over clarity, prioritizes feelings over biological reality, and seeks to redefine the natural order of marriage, family, and human identity in ways that directly contradict God-given rights and common sense. He says, if you elect me, basically, that's what he's saying. He says, I will fight relentlessly in the state legislature to protect our children from premature medical interventions, indoctrination in schools, and the normalization of perverse ideologies that threaten the innocence of the next generation. He says, together we can restore sanity, protect our families, and reclaim the soul of our state. And then immediately, I mean, like within 24 hours of this post, you know, and he's running unopposed, the House Republican leader of the state, leader of representatives, by the name of Vincent Candelora, which, by the way, he might have a family. Obviously, he didn't say he's queer, but he sure talked with a funny lisp, you know, because I listened to the interview. And so usually a man that has a lisp is not one that we would consider very manly. But that's just my personal opinion. He has not said that. I'm not making an accusation. I'm just making maybe an inference, right? He said immediately House Republican leader Rep. Vincent Candelora stated that he should step aside. But what I like about this young guy, Jaden, is that when he got pushback, he doubled down. Right? They interviewed him and he's like, I'm not backing down. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you other things that the Bible says about this wicked and perverse lifestyle. Right? And then so they went back to some of his posts from like last year. And I guess he had posted a picture of a noose in reaction to like a gay marriage story. And people got mad. I mean, honestly, a noose I think is too kind. The Bible says that we should stone them to death. I mean, Pastor Cobb has preached endlessly for over a decade that I've been here before I preached regularly, that it's one of the most disgusting, vile lifestyles. And he would constantly remind us that the Bible's clear that the indication or the punishment for that lifestyle is, you know, stoning by the community. Not by us, by, you know, the government would pass this down and then people would stone. We're not taking vigilantism into our hands. I just want to always clarify that, right? But then, of course, he's also posted about the Holocaust and some of the, you know, inconsistencies in that rhetoric. So, of course, he's anti-Zionism, which, you know, the Republican Party loves. And then he's also made messages where he's like, women should just stay out of politics, which I think would be great. I think we would have a better political system if women just stayed out of politics. You know, if you like Hillary Clinton, you got a problem, right? But also, if you like Sarah Palin, you had a problem. So just, and if you don't remember who Sarah Palin is, don't worry about it. Maybe I'm dating myself. But, you know, he's actually on the right path. First of all, it's good to have the next generation, you know, just espousing biblical facts. And you say, you've literally preached sermons, Pastor, that you do not vote anymore, and the reasons you don't vote anymore, and why you shouldn't vote personally, you know, from the Bible. So why would you promote or talk about someone who's running for politics? Well, the only reason I'm doing it is because he's actually doing it based on how I think politicians should run, which is, you know, on a Christian platform. He's a soul winner. He's King James only. He's once saved, always saved. And he believes that everything that's in the Bible is true. You know, he's probably the closest candidate I've ever heard to say that. Ron Paul is good, but he wasn't that, like, as far as biblical principles. And the reason I'm also doing this is because I remember I was 32 years old. So this is about 14 years ago. I was the chief of staff. I got, through a mentor of mine and some connections, I got a position as the chief of staff for the city, the elected member, city council member of District A here in Houston, Helena Brown. You know, which that's a whole other story. Obviously, I think differently now about women. And she was kind of nuts. She shouldn't have been in politics. But that's a whole other story. That's another day. Let's not digress. But during that time, I just saw, like, you know, just like this young man and just like a lot of us, we feel like this helplessness of all the stupidity that we've got to deal with. And you're like, if I just became the mayor of the city, I would do this first and this first and this first, and I would clean this up. And as a matter of fact, I do like that about his platform. He's just espousing biblical principles, but he's really running on a platform of, hey, let's just fix this, let's fix the state. You know, let's actually reappropriate taxes to the right place. Let's fix the potholes. You know, things like that that just really matter. And it would be the same here in the city of Houston. I remember telling my wife, man, if I just got elected, you know, the first thing we'd do is we'd fire all these people that, you know, Parks and Rec, all the people that are, you know, what is it, the animals, and let's go out there and fix. Who's driven down some of these Houston streets lately? I mean, and by the way, I'm not making a candidacy. I'm just saying those are the things that we think about. And so I was the chief of staff for like a year, and I got into the political thing where I ended up going to the Texas Republican Convention, the delegate convention. And I actually ran for the national delegate. This is when Mitt Romney, 2012. So this is Mitt Romney is the one that the forerunner, but remember Ron Paul is still in the running. And man, I got up and I gave my little soapbox speech, 30 seconds. And I was talking about how I'm a Mexican and I was naturalized and I have legal papers and, you know, that, you know, I believe in the morality of God and, you know, state and country and all that stuff. And people like me. But when push came to shove, somebody came and pushed me a little bit. And they said, hey, if you make it to the national delegate, if you go to Florida, you know, Orlando, I think it was in Orlando at the time. They're like, who are you going to vote for? And I said, well, my vote is personal. That's why you're voting for me. I'll make the most educated decision, which they took to mean that I would vote for Ron Paul. And right, the delegates were all pushing for the Mormon idiot Mitt Romney. Thank God that he's like no longer on the news or anything like that. So there was a guy who hadn't run, you know, what they'll do is there's a room like this where you guys are sitting, and whoever wants to run will come up and give their stump speech. It's like, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And then they go through a second round, and if anybody else decides that they want to do that, they can. And all of a sudden, this one older gentleman that didn't participate in the first round participated in the second round. So I got up there, and I just, like, gave my speech again, and I sat down. And all of a sudden, he got up, and he goes, Enrique Reyes and so-and-so, those guys are voting for Ron Paul. Don't vote for them. I was like, whoa, you mean like in front of like at least 100, 150 people? I was like, what the? I was sitting next to my wife. I was like, what's going on here? It just kind of threw me off. Obviously, I'm not like long in the tooth in politics. I just gotten in. I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm trying to do things the right way. I didn't realize I needed to cheat my way through this whole thing. But, and then the chair of that little section was Paul Bettencourt. If you don't know who Paul Bettencourt is, he's actually serving at the state level now. And he explicitly told people that liked me not to vote for me. And the reason we know this is because afterwards, you know, in politics, everybody gives everything away. They're all gossipers anyways. We're walking back to the main room and a bunch of the couples kept coming up to me and my wife and they're like, oh man, we loved you. Don't give up the fight. You know, you really need to stick to this. We were going to vote for you, but we were told not to vote for you because of Ron Paul. If you would have just voted, if you would have just said nothing or you would have said you would have done Mitt Romney, we would have voted for you. You'd be going to the national delegate. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, like whatever. So then that ended and I decided, well, you know, maybe I'll just bring it to the local level. This is how ignorant I was. So I actually filled out all the paperwork and I talked to my mentor and I got like a political advisor. And I said, you know what? I'm going to run for the mayor of the city of Houston. They have a lot of power in the state of Texas, the mayor, because it's the largest city in Texas. So I filled out all the paperwork and I sent it to the state. You know, ignorant, you know, I'm ignorant to this. You were supposed to send it to the county, you know, the Harris County or the city of Houston, the town hall. And I mean, I don't, somebody in the state called because nobody knew like but three people. All of a sudden, I'm sitting at lunchtime with the council member. She's sitting in front of me. She gets a phone call. She goes, what? No, no way. He's sitting right here in front of me. And I'm like, what is she talking about? She goes, are you running for mayor of Houston? And I was like, yeah. She was so like not happy. Why didn't you tell me? I can't believe you would backstab me like this and blah, blah, blah. And it like became this whole thing. Well, anyways, I was like, well, I'm running anyways. So then there was a black guy. I forget his name. I should have looked him up. And I knew for a fact that he was pro-sodomite. And this is the reason I've come back to this. Not only that, it was rumored that he was a sodomite himself. And he was, no, this is back in, this is for the district. I mean, for the mayor back in 2012. Not Sylvester Turner. He was a lawyer that didn't win. But Sylvester was, I think, also. But long story short, I called Pastor Riggles. If you don't know who Pastor Riggles is, when Anise Parker made the edict that all the pastors needed to turn in their sermons to make sure that they weren't preaching anti-queer rhetoric. Who remembers that? Who's been here long enough in Houston that remember that? It was a big story. And she's like, oh, we're going to, you know, we're going to audit all the pastors and their preaching. He was like pro supposedly the Bible. He runs, or I don't know, he was older then, so he might be retired. Grace Baptist right off the Beltway. It's that big church off the Beltway and 45. And I called him directly and I said, hey, I know you're backing this guy, but let me tell you, I am a Christian. I've been in the belly of the beast. I'm anti, you know, sodomites. I believe the Bible. You know, I espouse all the biblical values, all of this. Like it, on the phone directly. And he goes, well, we're already backing the other guy. I was like, yeah, wait a minute. That doesn't jive. Like this doesn't make, you know, I'm young and I'm brash. I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. You can change your opinion. Like, we're not even in the primaries yet. We're not even in the voting. They're like, no, we'll see how this guy works out. And then if it doesn't work out, we'll call you. Long story short, the Lord obviously blessed, talking about, you know, this morning about how, you know, sometimes I was disappointed because I really just wanted to make a change in the city of Houston. I love Houston. It's a great city. I mean, that was my political career went like, you know, and that was it. I made my two filings. I think you have to do some filing and, you know, tell them you're no longer running, pay the fees or whatever, and then that was it. It was over. But you know why they didn't want me in the political office? Because, you know, I was espousing the right things from the Bible. And I thought to myself, you know, I wish I would have had the political support of biblical men, like Christian men, pastors, and people that are attending church that are saying, hey, we want people like that in office, right? I'm not disappointed. You know, life has taken me in the direction that it needed to take me. But hey, if this young man can make a change, even if it's just to slow it down, why wouldn't we support him, right? Why wouldn't we say, hey, we need more people like that in office, especially if you're a Republican, because aren't Republicans supposed to be for the Bible? You know, they're not like, they call them rhinos, right? Republican in name only. And so we don't want that. But anyways, and the reason I say this is because at that time it wasn't happening. But right now, there's a tide. There's a, right here, there's a Gallup article from June 3rd of 2026. And it says, U.S. support for LGBTQ issues remains down from its peak. In other words, it's on a downward trend. You know why? Because the young people are waking up and they're tired of having this rhetoric shoved down their throat when they know instinctually, naturally, what God given them, that they're men or men and women or women and men like women and women like men. Amen. That's it. Amen. Right? I don't ever remember going through a confusion stage of like, you know, I didn't even go through the yucky stage. Remember like how some kids between the ages of 3 and 6 go through like, ooh, girls have cooties and they're yucky? No, I thought girls were great all my life. I love my wife to this day. My mom will tell you I had girlfriends all the way through the time when I got married. Like, I was 3 years old and I thought women were great. I was 4 years old, I thought women were great. I was 5 years old, 6, 7, 8. I mean, I was buying flowers for girls when I was 6 or 7, 8 years old. I was trying to ask women out. I mean, I don't ever remember being like, well, maybe I'm something else. It was like, that's a lie from the devil, right? It just doesn't exist. But what I like here is on June 7th, and I've only got 3 points for you today. This is, and I want to really make this the main thing. On June 7th, he says, I'm officially, so then he posted another thing. He said, I'm officially calling for a strict statewide ban on all pornography sites in Connecticut. Children of all ages are being targeted and ensnared by this addictive content, which has led many into a reprobate mind. Not only will I vote for a strict and highly regulated ban on pornography, but I'm also calling for every creator and distributor of such degenerate material to face a minimum sentence of 20 years in prison for their crimes against the children and humanity. And you know what? Immediately, he was condemned, not by the Democrats, by both parties. I mean, you would think Republicans wouldn't want pornography, but by the fact that they condemned them just shows you where their heart really is, right? The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why I couldn't trust a Republican as far as I could throw him, you know? I mean, I don't care if his name's Greg Abbott or Paul Bettencourt or Dan Patrick. To me, they're all the same. They're all full of crap, you know? Don't get me started because I actually dealt with them. Ted Cruz, don't even get me started on Ted Cruz. Because I actually met the guy, like, and his wife and his dad. I guess, anyways, that's a whole other thing. But point number one, here's the reason why we need to make America straight again. Because we need to uncrook, I guess. I don't know if that's actually a word. But, you know, point number one, a crooked culture needs a straight path, right? Now, the Bible does tell us that what God makes crooked, no man can make uncrooked. So the only one that can actually straighten anything out is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to look at that. Go over to Isaiah 5. But, you know, I did just a real quick grok. I said, hey, tell me more about this America Straight, Make America Straight Again slogan. And, or is it still relevant today? And it's like, yeah, it's still around as a niche slogan. Now, of course, you got to remember that this is all biased because it's still controlled by the media, right? Which tells me that it's probably bigger than it's leading to it. But I didn't know. Make America Straight is often abbreviated MASA, and it's a deliberate riff on America, Make America Great Again. And it pops mainly in conservative, traditional Christian, or anti-woke circles as pushback against the LGBTQ, visibility, pride events, gender, all this stuff that I just discussed, right? But I didn't realize that you could go online, like, buy hats and shirts and mugs. There's actually a song from 2024 called Make America Great Again. And then, of course, there's sermons and pastors. We know who a pastor is talking about, the new IFB, really, or ex-new IFB that used to preach this stuff, and because they're the only ones that are actually preaching it. And, of course, it's used in memes. And then it mentions the event. It says older examples like 2019 Florida Pastors Conference. But the vibe lives on in smaller revivalist or culture war context. It said it's provocative by design. Some see it as defending traditional norms and family. Structure biology, critics call it FOMO-hobic or regressive. Usage is mostly ironic, edgy online, or among people tired of rapid culture changes or sex and gender. Not a huge national movement, but it hasn't died out. Like many counter slogans, it thrives in polarized times. But it's not true. The culture is changing. People are sick and tired of this agenda being just constantly just shoved in their throats. So much so that when was the last time you actually saw a gay pride slogan on Facebook or on Google or on X? You haven't, because they know that they're going to lose money, because people are pulling their advertising dollars away from this rhetoric because they're sick and tired of it, because it's gross, right? But here's the thing. If we let off the gas, if we just let off the pedal, like if we just let off the momentum, we're going to lose it. Momentum in business, I was taught a long time ago, momentum is fickle. Just like you get it, it goes. So when you get it, you got to get it. You got to get as much as you can. You just got to keep getting it and keep getting it. Don't give up. Don't relent. Just keep fighting. And, you know, it'll start to make a change. But here's the problem. Most people will give up. That's the reality of life. But it's not just this movement. Anything in life, most people are starters but never finishers. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. So we need to have a finisher mentality. We need to fight to the very end against this agenda, right? Let's go to Isaiah 5. Right there in verse 18, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and of men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." And I like it. It's interesting, right? They justify the wicked for what? For reward. It's all about money, power, fame, fortune. That's why they justify this crap. "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, despite the word of the Holy One of Israel." You don't have to turn there, but go to Isaiah 40. But in Proverbs 14, verse 12, says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And by the way, this is a lot of basically like repeat. But you know what? We need repeat. As a matter of fact, even the title, I was like, man, sometimes you try to come up with these snazzy titles. And I was like, you know what? Even if somebody's used it, you know, nobody has a copyright on on truth, right? All we do is repeat stuff. I'm just going to use the title because it's the best way to describe what's going on in America right now. You know what I'm saying? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11, the Bible says, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there's profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is the defense, and money is the defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight which he hath made crooked?" The Bible says, hey, you got to consider the work of God. Hey, you got to put some effort into figuring out what's going on in the culture, right? And you got to look at it and then say, look, if this is crooked, and God looks like God did that, what makes you think that you're going to fix it? It's, you know, all these Baptist churches and these contemporary churches and these religious movements that are like, hey, let's go proselytize to the Jews who hate Jesus Christ. What? It doesn't even make any sense. Oh, hey, let's proselytize to the queers because, you know, God is love. Wait a second. God is love, but he's also hate. Like, we got to figure this thing out. Does he really love them? No, God so loved the world that he died for them. But if they rejected him, you know what? He's already rejected them. Like, what are we doing here? Isaiah 40, verse 3, the Bible says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken." And of course, it's talking about John the Baptist. We'll see this. Go to Matthew 3. You know what I see here when he says, hey, prepare the way, cry in the wilderness. It's we preach the entire word, right? Not just the gospel. It says, you know, repent for the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But also when Jesus left, you know, the Great Commission, he said, hey, we need to preach. We need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we also need to teach everything that's written in the book. You know, and of course, I'm paraphrasing. But he wants us to talk about everything. The way we prepare the way is by actually preparing the way. It's not just, hey, this, you know, I talked about it this morning, but it's not just like this little veiled gospel track, but it's actually confronting people about the reality of what is going on. Look, when you get on a queer agenda, you're getting on an anti-God agenda. But it's not just that you're anti-God. You're actually saying, hey, I agree with the haters of God, with those that despise God, with those that don't want to deal with God, and they hate everything about you and your family. They want to destroy your family. They want to destroy your kids. I mean, I can't even begin to mention just how often on Facebook somebody will post about these queer couples that adopt children just to abuse them. It's sick. It's child abuse. They should be put to death. I mean, every parent at some point in their life has made a mistake and bumped their kid's head, or, you know, the kid fell, or, you know, my son at one point ate a couple of batteries. You know, he's fine. We went to the hospital. Everything was great. Everything was great. He pooped it out. It was awesome, right? But I remember, like, you have this pain and this concern and this love. Like, it's not like you just, you have joy to see them in pain. I don't understand how anybody could actively, you know, with premeditation, just abuse an innocent child, the weakest of the weak. I mean, I don't even like, sometimes you bump into a child and you just feel really, who feels worse, the child or the adult? Any normal adult feels horrible for bumping into a child, even if the child was wrong, right? Because they're children. We love the children, like, right? We love them to protect them, not to abuse them, but, you know, just because the world is a weird place. But in Matthew 3, right there in verse 1, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That means that the Lord expects us to already be on a straight and narrow, right? He wants us to be preaching the right things, not the things that are convenient, the smooth things. In Luke 3, it also mentions that, but go to Romans 1, right? Point number two, and these are the long arms, or the arms of the LGBTQ, and then I'll close with, I'm just giving you 3 points here that I see this, that why our country thinks the way that it does and promotes what it does. Is the first one is the crooked cultural arm of the LGBTQ. Whatever, I don't know how many letters they have anymore. At the end of the day, you know, I like what my pastor friends say. LGBTQ, LGBT stands for let God burn them, and the Q is for let God burn them quickly. You know, so I think that works out pretty good. But in Romans 1, verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So you know what they're doing? They hold the truth, but to twist it. They'll be like, hey, we believe your Bible, but the Bible says that, you know, little children love adults just like adults love children. You know, that's, by the way, if you don't believe that that's real, there's an association called NAMBLA. I won't even, or whatever it is, and it's a gross association that tries to convince you of that stupidity. Right? Because they hold it in truth. I mean, but they hold the truth, but in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Hey, they don't have an excuse. They don't deserve your sympathy, your pity. They had their chance. Actually, from the reading, it sounds like they had more opportunity than just your regular Joe Blow lost guy. Right? They're lost and they're ignorant. It's up to us to go knock on their door and be like, hey, by the way, did you know you're going to hell? Oh, no, I didn't. I thought I was a good person. But these guys, these individuals, these beasts, as the Bible says, they've been given the opportunity and they're like, No, thank you. We don't want it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You know how like, whenever I see this, it just is like, people say, oh, the Bible's not relevant. Just go down to these, like, liberal parks, you know, go down to Memorial, like, at the peak hour. Number one, you're going to see all these queers and lesbos running around being seen of everybody. But then the worst part is you'll see them, like, literally pushing little dogs in their strollers, you know, $500 strollers, and they're calling them their fur babies. I mean, I literally saw a post of someone that said, Happy Fur Daddy's Day on Father's Day. I'm not even kidding you. And it's someone I personally know, and I was like, how delusional do you have to be? It's like an insult to parents to compare a dog to my child, because my child is way better than a dog. It's a human being. It has rationale. It can reciprocate. It can learn. You know, a dog can learn like a few commands, and then it's still going to poop, and it's still going to lick all its weird places. It's still going to go back to its vomit. It doesn't matter how much you say, no, no, Fido, don't lick there. Yeah, Fido really cares, right? Like, Fido's going to do whatever Fido's going to do. But, you know, if you tell a child, all children do weird stuff, and, you know, like, hey, don't poke your nose anymore. You know, don't do the things that kids do, right? Don't be, like, running around and picking gross stuff off the floor. You know what? They'll learn. And if they don't learn, you can just spank them, and you guess what? They're going to learn, right? But they're not dogs. It just makes me, pisses me off is what it does. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. It said, hey, that was right for them to receive that because it's gross. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And then this is the scary part, right? Who, knowing the judgment of God, the day which commits such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And by the way, you know, people mock God. These individuals will go to these parades, and they'll dress in whatever, you know, we've come to, you know, recognize as like a garbs of Jesus, and they'll tell you all kinds of weird things, and they'll, you know, blaspheme the name of God, and they'll do it in front of your children. And they'll just defile their minds. You know, that's why we're real careful where we go. I don't want my children being exposed to that, because once it's in your mind, it's hard to get out, right? Like, unfortunately, whatever I've seen in my life that messed me up, like, it's with me forever, and, you know, the Lord is gracious, and he helps you forget certain things. But every once in a while, the devil's real good at helping you bring that back up. And, you know, why would I want my children to do that? That's hateful, right? I mean, you think about it. Remember in the 80s when AIDS was discovered? You know, now I am dating myself, but I remember one of the things that was really scary about it was as these queer men were finding out that they had this deadly disease that had no cure. You know, it wasn't like they were like, oh, let's advocate to cure people. Let's make things better. You know what they were doing? They were just like, well, let's be with many more people and infect them all. Because if I'm infected, let me infect them. I mean, that was a thing. They had to like really crack down on it because these guys were so angry that they were going to die that they were like, I'll just take as many people with me as I can. And isn't that what the devil's doing today? You say, oh, you shouldn't talk like that. You can't even verify that. No, that happened. Like, that was a fact. I mean, there was literally news articles of people being, you know, indicted for that stuff. Leviticus 18:22, we know the verses, but thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. And you say, what is the culture war? Well, the Bible is clear. So if the culture is telling you something else, then obviously either God's right or they're right. But the culture war would have you think that God is wrong. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And by the way, you know that you can't say stuff like that because what they want you to do is think, you know, to the sitcoms of the 90s where they normalized queerdom to just be funny and cool. Oh, they're just, you know, fashion sense and they're cultured. Their best friends are women and they're just, you know, they're there to take care of you. No, they're not. That's not how they are at all. Jude 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, but thee speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things, they corrupt themselves. And that verse always stands out to me because what does it say? What they know naturally as brute beasts. That means that when God's given them over to a reprobate mind, they're no longer even considered a human in the eyes of God. They're literally considered fur babies. Disgusting fur. It says they know naturally as brute beasts. And it makes sense, right? Like, if you take a pride of anything, a pride of lions or a dog pack or a wolf pack, I mean, the way they said hierarchy is by sometimes devouring their own. They kill their own offspring. You know, there's no, like, order, like morality order. They just said order by, that's where Darwin got, like, survival of the fittest. But animals are different than humans, right? We shouldn't want to be animals. I mean, Genesis 19, verse 4, the Bible says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. If we just skip down a few verses, you know, the angels smote them with blindness. It says, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. Like, it was filled with children and men and women. And what does it say? So that they wearied themselves to find the door. It didn't even shock them anymore. They're just natural, you know, because they're just like dogs. And you know how you know that is like a brute beast? Who's ever seen a blind dog? You ever see? Yeah. But what's different about a blind dog and a regular dog? Nothing. They're just blind. They still just want to eat. They still just want to poop and pee. They're just dogs. If I'm blind, I'm like, what does this all mean? How do I figure this out? If I got struck blind, right? Like, if I just went blind right now, I'd be like, what's going on? Pastor Cobb he has a degenerative disease of his eyes where eventually, long enough, and I mean, he's been open about it. I'm not, like, I always get it wrong with macular degeneration, right? Yeah. And, you know, basically, at some point, he could go blind. I remember one time he called me and he's like, hey, I just went out in the sun and I came back and I can't see, so I'm not going to go anywhere. Like, he was shocked. Like, that's a normal response. He's like, something's weird. I can't see. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to figure this thing out. Not let me continue trying to do this bad thing that I was going to do. It's weird. Bible, in Isaiah 59, right there in verse 10, the Bible says, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon, day is in the night. We are in a desolate place as dead men. I mean, in the book of Isaiah, it talks a lot about just how bad it can get, right? In Proverbs 28, verse 4, the Bible says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they seek the Lord. They that seek the Lord understand all things. You know, verse 5 tells you just how to discern people that may look like they're on our side, but they're not. Right? I don't know if you don't know, don't worry about it, but you know, there's this like attack against one of our pastor friends, and they keep making this documentary series called The Man of God. And it's basically trying to point out how Pastor Anderson is this really bad guy, you know, for spanking his children and, you know, disciplining them and raising them. But one of the things that I have not seen the movie, so I don't, you know, I'm just going to go, but I believe it, is that, like, basically the main premise is that a bunch of queers exposed how bad this man of God was, quote unquote. It's like, how can you say that you're a Christian, but you're saying that a bunch of queers are the ones that are doing the work of God? Right? Like, that doesn't, it's like saying, well, you know, I did a seance and I talked to the devil and he called me out on my sins. So I figured out that's why I changed my life. Because Satan was the one that, you know, just, what? Satan would never, first of all, you know, it just even sounds stupid to say it, right? I sound like a weirdo up here just saying that. But anyways, let's go to point number three, the crooked religious arm of the LGBTQ, right? These are the things that we need to make straight. And you say, what do you mean by the religious arm? And I don't know. I think I got some of these backwards, so I might have to come back to my pages. Yeah. But if you go to Isaiah 30, right there in verse 8, the Bible says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come and forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You know, what is it saying? The Bible's telling us, hey, there's going to come a time where people just want to hear lies, right? And they just want to hear misdirection. And so they'll just believe anything. And you think about, I have my notes here actually, because I was wrapping up. You know, you look at, I looked up like Baptist churches that are pro-LGBT. And of course, there's all this ads, but I thought it was interesting. It said top 10 most gay-friendly churches in Houston. I'm not going to give you all 10 for the sake of time, but number three is Lakewood Church. Which, you know, a lot of people will be, I mean, you can't even begin to imagine how many people, who's run into someone who's like, oh, you know, I'm a Christian, and every Sunday I listen to Joel Osteen on the TV, and he tells me such good things, and it's just, it really edifies. Joel Osteen is pro-LGBTQ, so he can't be saved, and if he's saved, he's really backslidden, but I know he's not saved. Just, that's a whole other conversation for another day. And then another one, there was only one Baptist church there. I've never heard of this one. Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church. But even Baptists are just off the deep end, right? We ought to make, like, you know how they did the ice challenge many years ago? We ought to make the, you know, pastor challenge, and Pastor Anderson is famous for saying, no homos will ever be allowed in our church, never, right? And I might not say it exactly like him, but it's true. As long as I live, no homos will ever be allowed in this church, ever. And I don't even have it in the rules, but I guarantee you if I just said, hey, Brother Matt, or, you know, Brother Heath, there's a queer over there. Can you guys just grab them by the shoulders and kick them out? They'd do it. It's not even a worry. Brother Kevin actually feels left out. He's like, what about me? I want to be part, you know, he's like, how come you didn't call my name out? Right? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, the Bible tells us to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. You know, the queer agenda is a fable. It doesn't exist. It's a fantasy that's made up in the wicked mind of naturally brute beasts. Just like the feminist agenda and every agenda, it's just their imagination. Because if they were honest and they were to stand before God Almighty, they couldn't hold a candle to that belief. Jeremiah 23, verse 1, the Bible says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of these because there's just so many. I kind of overloaded just because I knew that I might be long-winded in some areas. And I was like, let me just make sure we have enough. There's a ton of scripture. I mean, I haven't even touched on half of it. Point number four, because I got two more for you, and we'll close this thing out, and I'll do it in the time allotted. The crooked political arm of the LGBTQ. And this is really the one that kind of triggered it, but I just wanted to come back to it. And I just did some, you know, this is all like, you can do this research. This is easy. I wanted to be like, how many like current congressmen or, you know, obviously political officers in the Republican Party are pro-LGBT. So, you know, Google gave me this. It says, current Republican platforms and legislative stances regarding LGBTQ issues feature a complex mix of intense state-level restrictions and shifting national party dynamics. While conservative groups are heavily pushing measures that target transgender individuals and limit campus protections, mainstream national efforts have actively modernized to be more outwardly welcoming to gay conservatives, which is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as you being conservative and being gay. Like, it doesn't even jive, right? National party platform endorsements. At the national level, the Republican Party has evolved its messaging under the Trump era. The official party platform language removed traditional opposition to same-sex marriage and updated heavily praised by the conservative LGBTQ groups. Like, by the way, this name just makes it, it's just so weird. The Log Cabin Republicans. Like, and you know, if you don't know who the Log Cabin Republicans are, it's literally the sub-arm of the Republican Party for all the queers. It's weird. I thought we were pro-Bible. And by the way, I'm not a Republican. I'm just saying we, like, if that's who they are, right? In contrast to the broader national approach, state-level Republican parties remain deeply conservative, but they only do it for the applause of man because they know that the rural towns, rural America is still against this stuff, and so they've got to just play both sides of the coin. Right? But if they were really honest, they're not. They're pro all of it. Many state parties, such as the Texas GOP, have official platforms that include characterizations of homosexuality as abnormal and calls to ban trans teachers. You know, and it goes on and on here about the support. But basically, if you get down to the gist of it, you know what? The Republican Party is pro-queer. You shouldn't be a Republican. You shouldn't be a Democrat. You should be a Christian. You should believe the Bible and stand on God's word. And if there is a candidate like a Jaden McCormick, then we should stand with him, right? Hey, I was with Ted Cruz when he won. He did grassroots. He was preaching all the right things. I was for him. And then he told me that, you know, the only reason he got into office was for the Jews. And I was just like, you know, thanks a lot, bro. That's gross, right? But I'm for doing it, even if I'm not going to be the one to jump on it. You know, here's a couple of weird things that people don't call out. There's this guy, you know him. He's that mayor of Indiana, Buttigieg. You can't make this stuff up, right? What's his name? Buttigieg or Buttigieg or whatever. And he's going to run for president. And he's a queer. And here, there's an article that says, former College Park, Maryland mayor Patrick Wojan is serving a 30-year prison sentence for the possession and distribution of child sexual abuse material. Wojan previously described former U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg as his mentor after they were paired together in 2015's mayor race. And so here, this article is like, or these articles are trying to say that that's not, that it can't be verified. It's true. They're all into it. Like, no queer should ever be allowed to adopt children. That's gross. Here, there's a guy by running for the governor of Connecticut. And he put an important announcement. If you live in the 50th State House District, because of this young guy, he said, former Pomfret First Selectman Tony Emilio is petitioning to make it onto the August primary ballot. He needs to garner around 230 signatures by end of day Tuesday, and is nearly there. I'm asking registered Republicans in the 50th district to connect with the volunteers collecting signatures in the district on Monday. You know why why they're on a rampage to do it? And they did it because they're now running a candidate against the other Republican candidate because the other candidate says that he's anti-queer. So which one is it? Go to John 19. Go to John 19. I'll read for you really quick. Psalm 146, verse 3 says, "Put your trust in princes, not in the Son of Man, in whom there's no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." You know, I use AI to help me outline my sermons. I have it trained. I'm not as advanced as other people, but I have a project. I have it trained. I'm like, just give me just kind of like these basic outlines and the cross references. And then I review. Obviously, I'm still going to go through. I don't have it write a sermon or give me any, but it just gives me a head start. And then from there, it triggers ideas. So I'm like, oh, that sermon reminds me of that verse reminds me, and I like this verse better. Or I don't like this point. But I gave it all, like, so all, what I'll do is I'll prompt the chat. Before I do that, what I'll do is I'll take a document and I'll write all the verses that I want, and then I'll prompt that. Like, I'm thinking of these points, help me word them better or whatever. I was preparing for this one, and I said, hey, these are the points that I want, the ones I'm giving you. And it said, I can help you write this sermon, and I think it's a good sermon about sin and immorality and blah, 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 blah. But I can't help you vilify a group, a protected group of people. Protected group? From what? They're the ones that are out there, like as the lions, seeking whom they can devour and destroy. That's the agenda we're living in. You know why we need to preach the word of God more often? Because all the tools that are out there from the devil eventually they'll censor everything. We need to know the word of God. We need to preach God's word, because one day maybe I won't have AI anymore, which is fine. You know, I like it because it speeds it up. But, you know, I've been writing sermons without AI for a long time. It's not going to make a difference. But, you know, the next generation needs to know God's word, because eventually the AI will just tell you what it thinks you need to hear. And then it'll just twist and lie about God's word. John 19, right there in verse 1, that says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And he said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Who's Pilate? He's the politician of the day, right? And the thing, the point I'm trying to make here is the politicians are afraid of everything. You know, all they care about is just pleasing their constituents. Because it says in verse 5, it says, "Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Then the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." By the way, the Jews hate this verse. They're trying to take it out of the preaching. They're trying to actually ban it, make it hate speech. "And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou now not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" If you notice, Pilate here, he's a little nervous. He's trying to get this thing, like, he's trying to exonerate the man, but he's afraid of the people. Because the people are his vote and his, you know, his way of livelihood, he just does what the people say. You know, the preachers need to stop preaching with their pocketbook, you know, or with their influence. They just need to preach the word of God. You know, one of the things I appreciate about Sprintcrest is that we're so small that I've never taken a paycheck. Now, you know, on occasion I'll take a conference trip and the church helps out where it can. But for the most part, I don't take a salary. Pastor Cobb, for as long as I've known him, has the tiniest salary in the world. Like, it's kind of a joke, right? But what it does is that I'm just preaching the word of God. God willing, if that ever comes the case, I don't care anyways. I should never care. But I don't care because, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not preaching to you because I'm getting paid well or because, you know, this building's really nice and I own it, my name's on it. None of that. I'm just preaching because it's the Word of God. And the last point, and then I'll close out with this. The straight paths prepare the way for the Lord. We already saw those verses, but I just wanted to, you know, if you look, it's interesting here that all of this, like, if we look, one thing that really stood out is the Bible repeatedly connects the word straight with what? God's way. It's not being straight like my sexuality. It's not being straight like what I think is the right way to do business or the right way to conduct myself. It's being straight because I conduct myself according to God's ways, not my way, right? This morning we talked about how if we want to get comfort in life, it's because of God. Well, the same thing, if we want to have boldness in life, it's God's way, not our way. You know, this young man, I mean, when I was 23, I was definitely not doing that. Praise the Lord that there's young people that are willing to stand up, that are willing to say the right things, fight the right fights, and do the right things. Is he going to do it perfect? Absolutely not. But is he doing it? Yeah, and I'm going to back anybody who's doing it, right? I'm not going to back these limp-wristed, you know, yellow, no-good-for-nothing individuals who just want to toe the party line instead of God's line. You know what? I mean, I went through all of these, but just as a way, you know, if we were to go to Matthew 3, we've touched on that. It says, make his path straight. Isaiah 40, make straight in the desert a highway for God. And he says, in the crooked shall be made straight. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In Hebrews 12, 13, it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, it constantly just telling you, like, get it right. If you go to Acts 2, verse 15, it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How do you shine? By not being crooked, not being perverse. Look, anybody who's backing crooked and perversion is not going to shine. And unfortunately, it comes from what? It comes from culture, right? The mainstream media. It comes from religion. It could be people that look like us and sound like us, but they're not us. It could also be from other false religions, or it could just be from, obviously, politics. And we need to pay attention to those three arms because those are the arms that the devil's going to use. And we just need to be like, well, I don't even want to be involved in any of that. Because honestly, we're not religious. We want to follow the Bible. People say, oh, I don't like talking about religion. I'll be like, neither do I. Unless it's from the pulpit and I'm calling them out, what I like talking about is God's word, right? And so in conclusion, what's the conclusion? Is that we need to make America straight again, right? If America was righteous and we had a righteous government, you know, they take all the queers, stone them, and then we wouldn't have any left. I've always said, I remember when I was younger, I would always say, hey, you know, let's try an experiment. If queers are so great, and I'll just close out with this, why don't we take all the male queers and just put them on an island and then just come back in 10 years and just see how many more queers there are, right? And we'll take the same. We'll take all the lesbos and we'll put them in another island and we'll just come back in 10 years and be like, how many are there? You know, Brother Heath did it. Big, fat, zero. They can't. Because it's not natural, right? They wouldn't be able to do it. They have to steal your children. They have to abuse your children. They have to recruit your children. But they can't reproduce their own children. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us to follow the straight paths and to avoid the crooked and perverse ways. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to bless this young man, but also anybody who's standing on the word of God. Be with the pastors that are preaching this. Be with, and I'll just call them up by name. Be with Pastor Shelley and Pastor Thompson, Pastor Anderson and Pastor Mejia and Pastor Oz, Pastor Russell. Be with all the Pastor Weeb and all the satellite churches and all the deacons and evangelists that are espousing the word of God, Lord. Be with those people that would be willing to not back down. And thank you for all that you do, Lord. Bless this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our hymns over to page 294. 294. Stepping in the light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by our blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, letting paths of light, pressing more closely to Him who is leading. When we are tempted to turn from the way, turning the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, letting paths of light. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to Him for the grace freely promised. Happy, how happy our journey above. To walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, wedded path of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Amen. You are dismissed.